Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't ever met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have some not.
Someone he never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my
notice. Here we go, right here.
And I'll see
yep.
you
yep.
at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope.
No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right. So the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for June 28th, 2021. And it's the last podcast for the month of June. Holy cow, guys. Holy cow, you bunch of low lifers. It's the end of June. It's almost July. And that means one thing. Actually, it means several things. I'll get in trouble if I say it only means one thing. But the next time I talk to y'all, I will have made it around this old world 38 years. 38 trips around the sun on this planet Earth on July 3rd. And we're going to celebrate in style here in Middle Tennessee, I can promise you. And a little quick housekeeping announcement. So I record on Sundays a lot of times, most of the time, actually. I'm recording this on a Sunday. And next week I'm gonna take it off. I'm gonna take the weekend off, and I'm going to not post a Monday low budget live, but we are going to do a Tuesday low budget live. Live on July the 8th. 7 p.m. is what we're shooting for YouTube. We're going to try to get it up on Facebook as well. But a actual live, and for all you podcast listeners, you can listen the next morning. I'll have it uploaded for you. You can watch it on the tube. You can check it out on iTunes, all that good stuff. If you're listening on the Waypoint Collective, you know where to find it. iTunes, Spotify. But so no Monday. There will be no July. I think I actually read that wrong. I don't think that's July 8th. Hang on. Let's look at that again. I think I read that wrong. July the 6th, you dummy. It'll be July the 6th. July the 6th. It's low budget. I'm a one-man show. I don't care. I messed the date up. July the 6th. The 6th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, there we go. Housekeeping. So no Monday LBL, but a live interacting with y'all. Gonna mix it up. Have a good time. Appreciate each and every one of you listening. If you are new to the program, you are a low lifer from now on. I'm sorry. There's a lot of y'all that tune in that don't like me, but you're low lifers. Whether you want to admit it or not, you might not admit it at a family reunion or at your job, but you're a low lifer. So congratulations. And y'all that listen loyally, you've got so many fishing podcasts out there you could listen to, particularly bass fishing podcasts. Some great ones. It's a short list and a lot of bad ones. So I appreciate y'all tuning in. And y'all bad ones, y'all know who y'all know who y'all are. Y'all know who y'all are out there. I may be one of them to some people, but I work hard. So, all right, we appreciate you, each and every one of you. Crazy week this week, always crazy. Took the boys saltwater fishing, and it turned into saltwater chumming because out of the 11 people on the boat, there were 7 of them that threw up the whole time in the Gulf of Mexico down in Orange Beach, Alabama. And it was an experience. I was not one of them. I had my sea legs, reeled in them big snaps, got them in. But, man, Hudson and Wes, right over the side, looked like the Exorcist. It was tough, man. They got sick on the way out. Shout out to the shady lady out of Zeke's Marina, Captain Brian. Good folks. If you ever want to go on a good red snapper trip, they're the ones. I think we fished for 10 minutes. We caught so many, it was stupid. Had 22 in a box and rolled her on back in the four footers. But definitely hard to watch as a dad, watching your young ones get sick. And there's no turning around, man. You're invested once you get so far out. But they're feeling all better now. And we went and got them some Dippin' Dots afterwards. So they were all good. So good times down in the Gulf of Mexico. Got to say a quick thanks to our sponsor, StarTron. Y'all shaking that StarTron. Y'all tag me up in that all the time. I appreciate you. StarTron kicking ethanol in the teeth. In your weed eater, in your chainsaw, most importantly, in your outboard engine, because ethanol just gums up the works. It ruins everything. There's 10% ethanol in almost all the gas you get at the pump, unless you're buying marine grade, and then you're spending that extra money. So get you a bottle of this right here, StarTron. They sell it everywhere. Everywhere. It's available almost everywhere. You have no excuse. This bottle right here treats 256 gallons. You put a little dab in your tank, pow, right there in the teeth, the old ethanol, get out of my way. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. So kick it in the teeth with some StarTron, StarBright Cleaning Solutions. I actually had to break out some carpet clean earlier this week because Goose, my gigantic lab, actually threw up here in the OBL Bar and Grill, and it was gross. But the carpet clean did the job down there. The folks at StarBright, StarTron, bringing you Low Budget Live. Almost 4 years. I'm trying to think what to do on the four-year anniversary this year, but we're going to have some fun later on. That's actually in August, so coming up pretty soon. The folks at Sims right here always making me feel good on the water, look good too. I mean, the triple threat, she can't keep her hands off of me. It's crazy. She's just all the time just following me around now that I'm just fully loaded up on this Sims. I'm just kidding. That's really not the case. But she does like the Sims clothing, and I like her too. I've been wearing out them Solar Flex hoodies. I know I tell you about them every week, but get them, man. Put that hood up. Keep that sun off the back. I don't like a buff, man. I can't pull that off. And the only reason I ever wore a buff was to kind of keep sun off my neck. So get that Solar Flex. Put that hood up. Rock and roll. Go catch you some bass. And they are biting right now on the Tennessee River. It's a good time. Did a little bit of that this week, too. So Solar Flex hoodie from Sims is a must-have. A must-have. I also have some little sun pants they make too. I like those when I'm riding around idling. Keep that sun off my knees. That idling looking at them garments can take its toll. But I am here to remind all you lowlifers, you get one life, fish it well. Pro Guide batteries, those 31 AGMs been doing me right all year long. Some of my favorite batteries I've ever ran. I've had a lot of battery issues. You hear me talk about it a lot on LBL, but those Pro Guides took care of it for me. You can use code LBL10 to get you 10% off over there at ProGuideBatteries.com. And last but certainly not least, hang the banner, boy. Boats in the garage, banners over my shoulder. The Express X21, the official boat of Low Budget Live and Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus. Loving that thing, man. I got to take a new victim out this week that's eyeing it up. He's eyeing him up in Express. I got him out on the water. Buddy of mine, he's like, As soon as his feet hit that sea deck, he said, "Why do boats have carpet?" And I said, "That's a good dang question. It's a good question." He absolutely loved it, man. It got a little bouncy out there, a little bouncy, a little sporty on Pickwick Lake, man. But we were doing it in the Express X21. Got to thank them for being the official boat and bringing you Low Budget Live and Low Budget Live and all the travel circus insanity in 2021 and beyond. That Express X21, the fine folks from Hot Springs, Arkansas, building excitement since 1966. All right, that's it. You made it through. You know all the people now, some of the people. There are a lot of other people that make this all possible, but those folks right there really take care of the podcast specifically, and we appreciate them. This week in fishing news, holy crap. Holy crap. In my opinion, one of the biggest stories we've seen in a while, if you were paying attention to the business side of it, and y'all know I do, Navico, parent company of Lowrance, or as a lot of my friends say, Lowrance Electronics, Brunswick, makers of fine bowling balls and outboard engines and boats. And this is interesting, man. This is It's more shrinking down, consolidation of the marine industry as we know it, the marine fishing industry. And you may be sitting there going, man, why is that a big deal? It's a huge deal. And I've talked about it a lot on the corporate greed podcast that I've done, and just the overall corporatization of things going on. And we see it in a lot of companies now. And I think that it's crazy how small the industry gets. This industry is already tiny, and it just keeps shrinking that much further. But this thing went for over $1 billion. What? Let me say that again in case you were driving and, you know, somebody blew their horn at you and you couldn't hear. Well, over $1 billion. Yeah, a billion with a B. Damn, boy. I'm telling you, Low Budget Live is for sale. I'll talk about all that corporate greed. Bring it right here. Bring you money. Put it on the bar and grill. It's for sale, son. I mean, everybody's wanting a taste of that marine industry. But Brunswick, of course, they own Mercury Motors, Mercury Outboards, and really changed that company a lot when they bought them. But one of the most interesting moves in my lifetime was when they bought Triton Boats from Earl Bentz. That was the first sale of Triton that Earl made. Of course, then Brunswick sold it to Platinum Equity to put it with Ranger and all that, and now it's under Johnny's World out there. Johnny, big shout-out, John Morris, Bass Pro, but it's under that umbrella now. So that was kind of that first, you know, big shot in our industry, in my opinion, of in recent years. There have been, you know, OMC buying in years and years and years ago, like the Stratus World and all that, when Earl sold the first time. Earl likes to sell. I don't blame him. He likes money, I guess. But now he's back with Camus and they're rocking and rolling. But you've got Brunswick. Now they own, the crazy thing is that they own dealers out there. They own distributors. You know, they bought Land and Sea Distributing, which if you're a boat dealer listening to this, you probably buy some parts from Land and Sea. So now they own the motors, the boats, the dealerships, the freaking distributors to sell you parts to the dealers. And now they own Trolling Motors, Graphs, and whatnot. So it's interesting, man. They definitely own it all. And then, like, if you want, because it's Brunswick, like, get yourself some bowling balls. You could get yourself some bowling balls. It's a weird deal, but very big company giving over $1 billion. And what that normally means, in my experience, is you'll see cuts and different things, you know. It'll affect us over time, man, but they definitely, they controlling some stuff. There's no doubt about it. And, interesting. That was some weird news. Of course, you know, me, Garmin fish hunt all the way, baby, but certainly interesting. Cause now they got a trolling motor and you're wondering, like, you know, Brunswick owns Lund. They own Low Boats. They own Crestliner. Will you see those be Lowrance exclusive? They may already be, I'm not sure, but will you see more and more of that, the exclusivity? You know, you're going to run a Lowrance trolling. If you're going to get a Lund boat, you got to have a Lowrance. You know, it will be interesting to see. And then that keeps out the Minn Kotas and the Garmins of the world, the motor guys from selling. It's I don't want to say monopoly-ish, but it's always interesting when one of those big business deals goes down. But that one was big news, man. Big, big news in the fishing world this week. Something I want to touch on real quick, and we got a guest that's got some important things to say we're going to get to. But I want to say go Vols, College Baseball World Series. We were 2-and-done, sent us back to Knoxville. Proud of the boys this year. It was fun keeping up with it. My wife and kids and I have had a ball watching them. And Coach Tony Vitello, the man that my wife has a super man crush on. I don't blame her. I think I do too. But they sent him home. But I just wanted to say, like, my hat goes out to North Carolina State because they got sent home because of COVID reasons, and I think that's totally just stupid at this point. And they're saying it was vaccinated players that actually tested positive. I'm not sure on all that. I ain't going to get in the middle of all that. But the NCAA knew it was going to be crazy because they released a press release at like 2 in the morning, sent them boys home. Man, it's crazy. These are long seasons. And Vanderbilt just walks into the championship, man. And I don't know. I'm done with it now. Like, I was all in. I was going to watch it all the way through no matter what, who was, you know, even though my team went home. And it just sucks, man. I hate that for North Carolina State because they really kind of like that Cinderella deal. So shout out all you NC State fans out there, Wolfpack, because you got ripped off. Because they can put 21,000 people with no mask in that stadium without testing, but the boys can't get out there on the field and play. It's just stupid. My whole thing with all the COVID stuff since the beginning is no two people handle it the same. No two groups handle it the same. No two cities handle it the same. Two states. And it's just like everybody pulling in different directions. And it's, I don't know. It's just, it's B-A-N-A-N-A-S is what I say. Bananas. Bananas is what it is. So just wanted to drop that in there. I know it has nothing to do with fishing, but, you know, it's my show. Talk about what I want to. Oh, and moving on back to fishing. Now that I got that off my chest. Go Big Orange. Go Big Orange. Speaking of bananas, insanity, whatever else you want to say, the St. Lawrence River is the most incredible place in the world to me to catch a smallmouth bass. Text our guest real quick. I ain't never seen anything like this BPT tournament going on up there, man. I haven't got to watch it. I watched some clips of it. I watched Justin Lucas catch a 6-freaking-13. And I almost passed out. I've been there several times. It's an incredible place, man. If you ever get a chance to go, go. But Jacob Wheeler right now at recording has over 200 pounds. Like, I don't even know how many bass that is. I know it's a bunch. He's caught a bunch of big ones. A lot of people are like, oh, the format. I don't want to have to catch that many bass. Like, it's just, like, it's obnoxious to have to try to catch that many bass to compete. Jesus. But Brent Ayler, I know he posted up. Because I know fans want to see both. You know, there are people that are into that. And there are obviously people that are still way more into the fly fish because it's what we all grew up on. And immediately that's where my head goes. I was giving Alton Jones Jr. a little Alton a hard time after day one because he had 100 and I don't know how many pounds. And I said, bro, my iPhone can't do this math to break it down. But I do think that it ended up being like a 3.5 pound average, which is freaking insane because he caught almost 50. I mean, it's stupid. Them boys rocked them, dude. So, this is when they get to places like that, it's just wild to me, that format. And you can get so far out of it. If you're in 30th place, you're like, oh, I got 90 pounds and you're getting lapped. So it's crazy. And they're sight fishing smallies using the old flogger. And it's very interesting because that catch and release format to me, because they can go back and catch them. I think they've got some crappier weather after that first day when Jacob caught however many pounds, like 160 some pounds. I don't know. It was ridiculous. I don't even know. Like I'm speechless about it. Such an incredible fishery. And they went out of Messina way up on the other end. I think bass is going out of Waddington. And we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to some Bassmaster talk, but pretty crazy event, man. Pretty crazy event. Of course, John Cox, Coxwatch. Coxwatch, that's the new Coxwatch official sound effect right there. Cox leading his group after day one with almost 100 pounds in that group B. We're going to talk to John about it. He is our guest today. We're going to get him on the phone here in just a couple seconds. And John is in a unique spot, okay? Y'all know I've been keeping up, been doing a Coxwatch all year because John is not only just a great human being, but he's an incredible fisherman. And he's doing something that's never been done before, man. He's fishing all the trails other than NPFL. And I think if he could have fit it in, he would have fished with us too from talking to John. And he's in a weird spot. And he wanted to come on and talk about it. And he and I talked earlier this week. But basically, just to set it up before we get him on the phone, you know, he's fishing the Elite Series. He's fishing BPT. Of course, the Elite Series has very strict rules about off limits and being on the water prior to events, like most tournament trails do. BPT is the same way. But John has known all year, and so is Bass, and so is BPT, that this was coming. And the last event of the year for the Elite Series is on the St. Lawrence River, out of Waddington, about 20 miles down the river from Messina. The anglers, the Elite Series anglers, about, from what I'm hearing, about 50% of the field have voted to DQ John, where he can't fish the event. He's in the 30s in the AOI race, which going into the last two events means he's got a chance at a classic spot. And basically, they're just like, no bueno, you're not fishing. I get it from their standpoint. I do. But John, and he's going to tell us about it, not really giving himself a competitive advantage. He's agreed to not fish anywhere where he fished this week, to turn left. He hasn't even gone near the Waddington area in practice. He's done all he can to try to prevent being disqualified from this event, okay? And he was not going to fish the Elite Series at the first of this year, to my understanding. He was going to do BPT and FLW, MLF. And he had to miss some MLF, the Big Five, Tackle Warehouse deal. He had to miss some of those because of Elites. But he made a check at Gunnersville and left to go to the Harris Chain BPT. So he made the cut, got a check, but he left. And from what I've heard, ruffled some feathers at Bass that he left. Now, we've known all year what he was going to do. You knew all year, and you wanted him to fish, so you made an exception. Boyd Duckett has worked with him. He's put him in Group B every event that overlapped in Elite Series so he can make it. Now, he's fished these events without practice, and he's done well in several of them in the BPTs this year. But Boyd did work with him, and John will tell you that. So we're going to get John on the phone. He wants to kind of speak his mind, plead his case. And I want to talk to him about it because I'm very interested in this situation. There's a lot going on with it, I believe. But ladies and gentlemen from New York, John Cox.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Hey, buddy, that was a hell of an intro.
That was amazing.
That was probably my best one. I might retire after that. I think that I may just travel and be your caddy from now on.
Oh, yeah, man, that was a good one.
you need a damn driver in your life is what you need. Well, I know you got one. But you need one that's not your wife, I think.
Yeah. It's nice because then I get her to come see me about every week and be like, babe, I need you to drive me to fly out, and drive me a few hours to wherever the next one is.
Are they up there with you right now?
They went back for the last 6 or 7 days. It was their daughter's birthday.
So okay.
She went and but they're coming back tomorrow.
All right. So yeah. They'll be back up there, and because you're going to be up there for a while.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be up here at least to the middle of August, I think.
That's so crazy. That's so wild, man. But what a place to be, dude.
Oh, gosh, man. I know. It's honestly incredible. It's like this is like that part of the season that, everybody's happy, and it's just, it's just so much fun. You get so many bites. I was thinking the other day how if we had to do these tournaments first and then go back to largemouth fishing, like the rest of the season, it would be really hard to go fish some of those places after fishing here, you know.
Can you imagine going to, like, Santee in the fall after going smallmouth fishing?
Yeah.
Brutal, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I talked to you in practice, and I set this up by talking about kind of the situation you're in with everything going on, and it was kind of unforeseen, the situation you were in. But, dude, talking to you that day, you're like, oh, I got one, and you're telling me all this stuff about your practice, and then you go out in your group, and you catch almost 100 pounds of smallies. And you told me, you said, bro, if it wasn't cloudy, I don't know if my heart could take it.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I was just fishing shallow, you know, and not being able to see the targets, made it tough. But man, they were just biting, man. It was so much fun. I don't know how, you know, we just barely didn't break 100, but I don't know how those guys, I mean, you know, caught the, you know, so many guys. I think there was 10 guys that broke 100 the first day, in the other group. It's crazy.
Dude, so how did you catch them the first day? I didn't get to watch a lot of it. Shallow, are you sight fishing? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I had a few that were still on beds, but I noticed they were really starting to pull out towards the points and stuff, and that's what I did. I kind of moved out on these, like, points right out from where the beds were, and I was just taking, a net head, and I was putting, it's a funny story, so I didn't want to waste all my flatworms or my generals and, you know, stuff like that. So I had these hit worms, and I had a few of them. I was like, I'll just use those in practice since I'll never use them and whatever. And man, like, you know, when I was on the phone, I mean, it was like,
yeah,
cast with them. So like that ended up being like what I was throwing mostly, threw that a lot. And then Berkeley came out to a bunch of the new, Max Scent stuff. So I used, this new crawl that they had, and, man, there's a lot of, I mean, they were just biting, man. It was so much fun.
That's awesome, man. I love that a Florida boy just goes up there and just snatches on them, too. This 2 years in a row, dude, that you've made this smallmouth run. Like,
I honestly, like, because I was so upset when we left Sturgeon Bay, and I was just like, man, no more smallmouth fishing for, like, a whole – like, we actually came in, and I dropped my cameraman off the last day, and they were doing the awards, the guy who won or whatever. And all the kids jumped in the boat, and the wife jumped in, and we went and fished till dark.
That's awesome, man. Day,
just to get, you know, get a little more in before we left. And so when I got out there, I was just like, I was so happy. Like, couldn't sleep the night before. I was like, oh, this is going to be so much fun.
And you actually got to rest for this event, which has been rare for you for the most part.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I think I got 12 hours the day before the tournament because I was in the Group B or whatever.
Yeah.
And that might have been why I couldn't sleep at all the next night. But
that's killer, dude. And we talked a little bit on the phone. You left the Classic and drove straight to the Potomac to fish back to back. I mean, it's, you can see daylight now, though, right? Like, we're winding down. You can see daylight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're definitely at the tail end of all this. And man, I mean, it was like, just make it to where, you know, we get up north and the kids are out of school and stuff. And, you know, they're able to stay with me. And I think they were with me the last 2 weeks before I got here. So
that's just awesome.
It's nice having them with me, you know, and then I don't feel like I'm missing too much, you know.
No doubt, dude.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of missing, we got to talk about this because here's the thing, man. I introed it and I talked a little bit about it, but the more I thought about it, you and I got off the phone, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get on here and I'm going to get on my soapbox like I always do, and I'm gonna talk about it. But I thought, you know what? I want people to hear it from you, you know, in your own words, kind of what's going on. And I set it up, you know. Both organizations have known all year that this was going to be the case, right? The schedules haven't changed as far as these events are concerned. And Bass does have an off-limits, just like MLF, just like FLW, just like MPFL. They all have off-limits, and I understand that. But I know you said MLF is making an exception for the Champlain Toyota Series guys, I guess, before your Champlain event. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So the Champlain one, they moved it around and you know, so I'll be able to fish the Bass Elite one.
And the MLF.
Yeah, and the MLF one there. So that, you know, so that fixed that conflict. And then, the only other conflict we have was this one was inside of the St. Lawrence Bassmaster 30-day off-limits. But we're going out of two different ramps, you know.
Right.
Bass, we're going out of Waddington. You know, the MLF one, we went out of Mencena. And so I just, you know, we don't have an exact answer. We don't really know what's going to happen. I'm hoping there's some way to fish the Waddington event. So what I did this event, I jumped in at Messina and I just stayed to the right of the boat ramp at Messina. You know, I stayed there, spent both my practice days. I'm going to fish my entire tournament right there in that little section of river. And, you know, not being anywhere near Waddington, and I've never even seen Waddington anyways to begin with.
Which kind of puts you at a handicap, right? Even though 100 pounds don't look like your handicap, but but you stayed close. You did that intentionally, so you hope the Bass Elite guys would say, all right, let's let him fish because you're trying to make a check. I mean, you're feeding your family doing this.
Right, and I mean, the thing is, too, I mean, we're not there. I mean, I know we're competing and everything, but I mean, we're here to – you know, sell boats, sell baits. And like, you know, it's like,
it's what you do for a living. Work. Yeah.
Yeah. We are working for a living. So I just hate that. You know, I just hope it's not where, guys think, you know, they don't want me fishing that because of, you know, it's an extra spot in the Classic or extra check that someone else is going to get, you know, like I just hope that, you know, everybody kind of realizes that it's, you know, it's work, you know, we're all working. I'm not out here trying to get an advantage. I mean, that's what the rule is made for, I think, was the 30 days. They don't want someone on a body of water camping weeks and weeks at a time, learning every inch of it, you know?
And, without a doubt.
And I'm like cutting the whole thing. Like, I'm not even going to go anywhere near where I was. And I mean, hopefully it works out, man. I mean, it's incredible fishing. I mean, everybody loves it up here, you know. Just we'll have to see when it rolls around.
No, so when do you think they'll make a decision on that?
You know, I really have no idea. I mean, as of now, you know, I'll go to Champlain straight from this one next week, and I'm going to fish that one for the Bass Elites, and then the Waddington event's right after it, and, you know, I'm going to show up as practice and show up for day one and
see what happens. See if they carry off in handcuffs.
Yeah, see what happens.
Dude, I hope that's what happens. I'll be honest. Like, I want you to fish, but I hope it's like they drag you kicking and screaming with your flatworms and your damn spinning rod, and you're like, I just want to fish. Yeah. Let me fish. I may come up there and protest, and then you can take me fishing, and we'll just go fish around all the guys that voted against letting you in. We'll be like, there's one of them. Let's go over there. Just me and you out there, cut off T-shirts. I like it. Eating pizza, drinking Slurpees.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we'll do. Dude, you let me know, like, hey, man, I'm kind of getting this vibe, Luke. They might disqualify. I'm coming. I'm coming up there, and we're doing it.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
Dude, listen, we'll go down swinging with them, and then we'll do whatever we got to do. But I'll get us out of jail. I'll do whatever I got to do.
Right.
Well, you told me something interesting, man, because you've been – it is mainly the organization itself hasn't made a call yet officially, tournament directors, all that. But the anglers, there are a certain group of anglers, and we're not naming names because there's no need, but there are a lot of them that have voted, hey, we think Johnson should be DQ'd. And because there is that classic spot. And to me, it's like I told you on the phone, if you were in 100th place, I don't think they would care. And if you weren't a dominant angler, I feel like they wouldn't care. If it was me, they'd be like, oh, it's just Luke. Let him in. Let him fish. He loves to drag his drop shot around and not catch any. But man, I think it does, you know, the wolves get to circling this time of year. Guys are, you know, like I said, you're all doing it for a living. So I see all angles on it. I really do. But at the same time, you mentioned it's like a brotherhood, a fraternity almost. These guys knew this was coming all year, so I wish this would have become an issue 3 months ago. That way, you know, or 4 months ago even, because, dude, that's their last event. You have – I do the Cox Watch update after every event, Cox Watch, because it's dude, and I said from the beginning, I told you this on the phone again the other day, you were like this little white dove of peace that, like – all these guys, like, boy, Ducky gets a bad rap. Hell, I give him one a lot of times, right, on this show. And self-admitted. And he's like, hey, John, we'll take care of you. And, dude, he has, right? I mean, is that fair to say?
Oh,
he worked with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I missed two of their events, you know, to fish Bass Elite events, you know. So, I mean, that was, you know. I don't want to miss anymore, you know. And
No, you want every chance to win money you can.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's all going to work out.
Hope so, man. I fingers crossed that it does, dude. That's what we talked about the other day. Just you've came so far this year. It would be awesome to see you qualify for the Classic, Red Crest, the title champion. I mean, dude, if you can do all that, can you make the title? I don't know where you're at there because you had to miss events.
Because I missed two in that. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, if we have you know, like Bass is doing like a COVID drop where they drop one of your worst finishes. And so I don't know if you know, Pro Circuit does that too. There's a really good, really good chance I might make that one too.
Wait a second. Yeah, can you drop your DQ?
Well, no. So I got 3 points at Neely Head.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That was the one they dropped. But I don't know. I mean, if I got, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty much like if for some reason I get disqualified, it's pretty much like I had 2 zeros.
Yeah, that's brutal.
You know, with the Neely Henry one, which is awful. I mean, gosh, I mean, I finished third to last.
Yeah, what happened there? Let's talk about that for a second.
I showed up and I was kind of tired. I've never seen the lake. And
you guys got through a curve that week too, man.
Yeah, and it was like it rained a bunch. I guess it rained a bunch. I don't know. I guess a lot of stuff changed. And I got there. I just couldn't get on them. I couldn't find anything. And
you came straight from Travis?
Yep.
To that one? Yeah.
Yeah, and they postponed. I got there. We drove all through the night. It was like 12 and a half hours from Travis. And we got there at like 7 in the morning right before takeoff. And they canceled the day, which was awesome because all the high water. And, you know, I got a little bit of sleep. And but it didn't help. I just couldn't catch them. I mean, I was all around the guys that were catching them. It was just, you know, sometimes you wake up and you forget how to fish.
They don't jump in the boat.
Yeah. Someday.
So I'm going to put you on the spot on LBL right now. Mm-hmm. Are you going to commit to the MPFL next year too?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Come on, four trails. Come on, John.
I know. I mean, gosh. I mean,
you and Keith.
I really, enjoy. I like watching you guys on live. I mean, it's been it's, you know, and I don't know if it's just because Keith's on there, it seems like, all the time, but I mean, I like seeing a lot of them new guys, you know, having that opportunity. And man, I don't know, maybe a Bill will come over there for a couple.
Come on, just come for a couple. If you can't join us for all of them, man, and because nothing. I mean, we've already got a John Cox over there. So Cox versus Cox, just all the Cox on the MPFL, man. I mean, I'm here for it. Let's go.
Yeah, right,
dude. I think if you were over there, Scott Martin might lose his mind if there were all the Cox over there. He wouldn't know what to do.
He wouldn't know who's
who, baby. He just had to just turn his damn phone off. He won't be able to keep up.
Yeah.
Now, that really might create an issue for me because I get confused as it is, you know? I might not be able to do the live coverage as well.
Yeah. That's why I always, when the other John Cox, he was in front of Keith on one of them, and I'm like, you know, and I was like, yeah, look, Keith, I'm over there whooping up on
him. I love it, dude. Were you super pumped when Keith won, right?
Oh, dude, I mean, gosh, man. And I honestly, like, I thought he was going to win the Classic. Like, I was just, you know, just so happy for him.
Dude, I have enjoyed getting to know that guy more and more this year. He's, I see why, knowing you like I know you, I see why you guys just, man, you mesh. And I didn't know until the Berkeley video, which is the best thing I've ever seen in bass fishing. Honest to God, dude, it is the best. Like, from the creativity side of the video, your story and everything, I think it's one of the best things I've ever seen. I shared it on all my honestly, like, I'm not just saying that. Like, I text Brad, and I'm like, dude, this is incredible. But I did not realize that Keith won the co-angler side of that Red River tournament that you won. I had no idea. Dude, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
I know. I'm getting chills thinking about that. Dude. We were gonna quit. We were driving out there. We like weren't even really talking to each other because we're like, you know, we borrow his dad's credit card. I'm like, dude, this is it. This is like,
it's over.
It, you know, it's done. You know,
unbelievable.
And then we both won. Like, and we didn't even fish together. We weren't even in the boat together.
How crazy is that, man? And I had no clue. I knew about your team tournament stuff, but I didn't know that you guys pooled your winnings basically for you to fish the FLW tour.
Yeah,
on the pro side, and he fished all of them as a co-angler, right?
Yep.
And he won that event, and you won it on the pro. Like, that's just, dude.
And it was even more crazy. So I'm running down day three, and I have the co-angler that's leading with me. And he's like, I'm going to win. You know, your co-angler's called him every day. And I'm running down to go through the lock, and I hang a left. And I'm like, I'm not going down there today. I didn't go to the pipe. And I was like, I don't know. I was sick to my stomach, but I was like, you know, in the back of my head, it's like, Keith does not have a shot to win if I take this guy in there.
Wow, yeah, dude. I sound like Chris Jones.
I stayed in the boat ramp pool, and like, at like 11, I had nothing. I was like, oh my gosh, you're an idiot. You know, you should have, you know, and I finally caught enough, you know, right there. But I mean, it was just so crazy. That tournament was nuts.
That is freaking insane, man. If y'all, the video we're talking about, Berkeley, it's on all John's social media, Keith Carson's social media. Bassmaster shared it. I've shared it. Go find it if you haven't seen it. It tells the story of these two guys from when they were young to where they're at now, which is incredible. They both got professional wins this year. Keith finally got a boat. He's not having to borrow John's old one anymore. Keith won out of John's boat twice. But he finally got a boat of his own. Bless his heart. He finally got one. I was giving him a hard time down there in Florida. I'm like, dude, I missed the hand-painted name on the side of it. At the Harris chain, I was giving him hell.
Yeah, I know it.
It's incredible, dude. Well, John, man, I know you got tackled a rig. You probably got, like, at least two rods to tie up for tomorrow, and you probably haven't done it yet, if I'm guessing. Have you not?
No, I haven't done
it. Okay, it's 4:30 the day before his round two, guys. You heard it here. He hasn't done anything yet. That's why John Cox beat you. Just low and slow, baby. I love it, John boy. Right. I love it, man. Well, dude, go win your round and make a top 10 on the freaking St. Lawrence River. How cool would that be, dude?
Oh, dude, that'd be – I mean, I just – man, if I can win the round and skip the knockout round, that'd just be – and to go right into the top 10 on the last day.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yeah. Hey, talk about that just real quick, because that you just brought up a really good point. You guys get to skip out if you're the winner of your round, of course. Dude, yeah. Talk about having to catch that freaking mini just to qualify, though. Like, is that – that's just so different than any other format. I mean, it's just – what does that do to you mentally? Like, you got to think about it, right?
Like, you don't know, like, am I burning too many fish? And you know, I just don't know. I haven't fished one yet where I've actually led the round, except when we were at Sturgeon Bay last year.
Right.
And man, it's like, I don't, what I was thinking is if you can win the round and skip the knockout round and hopefully no one's on your fish.
Yeah.
You can let them rest the day and then, you know, your weight start over. You know, I don't know. I think there is a formula that will, you know, I just don't know it yet. You know, what's going to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. What? Because, I mean, Summit, like Wheeler won the other day, and he intentionally didn't win the round so that he could fish the knockout round. So he could stay on his spot and kind of stay with the fish, you know.
Seriously? Yeah, I haven't heard that.
He ended up winning, you know.
Wow.
So I don't know. I think if you have a spot that's that good and you know other people know about it, it's small enough to protect, then it might be worth.
Damn, that's risky.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I want to be in the top 10 and take my chances.
Well, the money gets so much better in the top 10 too, right?
Oh yeah, like 10th place, like 20 grand.
Yeah,
I got fifth the other day in Texas, and it was like 30 grand.
Yeah, you got to go take that money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, top tens.
Top tens are too hard to come by in any group, especially that group.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I get that, dude. Well, I was thinking today, like seeing like Dudley today's around the cut line, whatever, with 100 and something. And I'm just like, how do you even? I don't even know how you're like. Oh yeah, I'm 14th with 100 and whatever pounds.
Yeah.
I was messing with little Alton, and I said, bro, my iPhone doesn't do this math. Like, I don't even know. Is that good? Like, I don't know what you caught. Like, it's a bunch, but I don't know. And then I did, honest to God, I was giving him hell on Twitter, and I ended up doing the math, and it was like over a 3-pound average. And I was like, yeah, that's catching them.
Yeah.
I was like, that's smashing. Like, I don't care what tournament you're in. Like, that's smashing when you catch 50 over 3. Like, that's a pretty damn good day.
That is so crazy.
It's stupid, dude. And then Lucas had a 6-13. Have you seen one anywhere near that side, like a sixer, since you've been there?
No. I mean, I'm in that one little section. I don't think, you know, the biggest I caught, I think, was only like 412, which is still a big one.
Big one, yeah.
It's just, man, I don't know. I guess there's certain parts of the river that might hold some bigger ones.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like anyway. It seems like a lot of them guys are catching like multiple fives and, you know,
it's crazy,
I don't
dude.
Know. Maybe they'll show up where I'm at. I don't know.
Do you have a lot of company up there?
I didn't until I didn't see anybody until about going into the second period, and then it seemed like some guys started.
Do you think that happens? Because I think it happens.
I mean, well, see, that's the thing. Like, you know, like people know. Like, I came out of the ramp. Everybody went left. I was the only one.
And they're like, damn, he's beating our ass at the boat ramp. Let's go, Bill.
Yeah. And they gave us an hour runtime this time. So it was like,
holy crap.
Dude, I made a ride out of the ramp and I'd like sat there for 50 minutes. And it was pouring rain and I was trying to sit under this dock and I was like, this is all, I wish I could sit in the truck. You know, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I guess some of the guys like idle around and stuff, but. You know, we ripped the transducer off the week before and haven't put it back on. So I was like, we'll just sit under this dock.
So you're fishing the St. Lawrence River with no transducer at the boat ramp, beating asses.
So I went out of my comfort zone. I put the Ultrex back on.
Uh-oh.
And I don't have the connector to hook to the ramp. So I had nothing. yesterday.
I love you, John Cox. I swear to God, there's nothing better in bass fishing, man. Y'all think I'm an electronics guy. We all talk about all the time. You don't need anything. You need a freak. You need some damn Berkeley's plastics and some jig heads, and you need to just go fish. Quit worrying about all this crap. You did the same thing at freaking St. Clair last year, man.
Yeah. God, it's so much fun.
Dude, I love it, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming on, and I wanted to get that story out there because I think it's important for people to hear kind of what you're going through, man, because you've been the most interesting story in bass fishing this year, putting it all out there, just busting your ass to fish all these tournaments. So I definitely wanted to share it, buddy, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. I mean, I really think, I mean, I honestly think if all the fans kind of got behind me, I mean, that might be.
Let's start a petition. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
We're there. We're there for the fans. And so, I mean, it's like, it's just hard to, it's hard when you're competing against people to let the competitors decide on it.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's just hard for that to, you know, because everybody wants to win, you know.
No doubt about it, man. But, and people don't like getting beat. That's for sure. None of us do. And that's, it definitely plays in there. That competitive nature comes out, especially late in the year, man. So, and as fishermen, I think we're the world's biggest bitches. Like, we just all, at some point, we just, truly, dude, like, I mean, everybody just complains. You caught 100 pounds, and you were probably like, damn, I wish I could have caught 115. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how we are.
You ask my wife, when we leave the tournament, like, it'd be a great tournament, and, you know, we just didn't win. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you're a bitch about it. Yeah, I get it. Like, you won Smith Lake this year, and you're probably like, man, I wish I could have caught more of them on a buzzbait or something. I mean, like, and you won. Like, I should have thrown this a little bit more. I mean, that's all of us, dude.
My complaint at Smith Lake was, I was like, man, I wish I didn't have to weigh in that one spot at
bat. That's it right there. I took Brad Fuller from the NPFL out on Pickwick this week, and, dude, we just cracked on him. And I was mad. When we got back, I mean, we caught like 50. I don't know. It was stupid. And he goes, dude, that was incredible. Like, thank you so much. I was like, ah, it's all right. And he goes, it was all right. Like, we crushed him. And I was like, yeah, but, dude, we didn't catch any fives. And, like, it just, like, sometimes you pull up on that one spot where we caught him. Like, dude, I catch 25 pounds in, like, six throws. Like, that. Right. I was like, we caught 18. That sucked. And he was like, that's so crazy. I'm like, yeah, that's just what it is, man. But I was legitimately pissed off. And he was like, what's wrong with you? Like, I don't know. We didn't catch any big ones.
Right.
You know, like, I wanted to show you what the Tennessee River's about, man. Oh, my gosh. Well, brother, go catch them up tomorrow. I'm going to watch and just give something, give old JT something to talk about tomorrow, okay? Right, hey, when you can, hey, do this for me. If you catch a 5-pounder tomorrow because your biggest was 412, say, that's a low lifer right there, boys. That's what we want to say. Look at that low lifer. Give me a shout out.
All right.
All right, buddy. See you, John Cox.
See you, bud.
John freaking Cox right there, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to you live. Oh, me. Interesting situation he's in, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting. You know, something he told me, he didn't say it there, but something he told me, and I hope he doesn't care for me sharing this, but he actually offered, even if they disqualified him, to come fish the tournament. He's like, even if I get zeros, just let me come fish so I can promote my sponsors, go catch smallmouth, do whatever. And they're like, you're overthinking this, you know. And it's just, it's too bad, man, because John's not a malicious dude. I think he's a very competitive dude, but I don't think he's not fishing this event to try to get a competitive advantage of that. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, he's seeing what the river's doing right now. And I get that. He knows what stage those fish are in, but he's offering to not even go anywhere near where he fished. And let's be honest, there are Elite Series guys right now watching every minute of that BPT coverage, seeing where those guys are at in the river, seeing how they're catching them, and they know just as much as John does on the water, in my opinion, of what's going on. Got 7-8 hours of coverage a day. You know which area these guys are in, especially if you've been there. So, and a lot's going to change in the time period they've got before they fish there. They got a few weeks, but hopefully they do the right thing. And look, man, guys, the Wolves get to circling. There's one classic spot up for grabs because John most likely will qualify for the classic. He's right there close. And I get it. There's pros and cons. But to me, if the guy is certainly determined enough to pull this off all year long, it just sucks that it comes down to the last term of the year and you might disqualify him. That's all I'm saying. I think it sucks. And MLF, the organization that does catch more hail from me, from a lot of people, they've worked with him all year long. And if I'm a tournament director, a tournament organization CEO, whatever, you want John Cox in your field, man. Like, you just do. From a, you know, he's great on camera. He's great with fans. He's a phenom. He's just a good damn dude. So that's my thing, man. They need to do the right thing. They need to let him fish. He's obviously willing to do whatever. He's within sight of the freaking ramp at Messina. Like, it's just crazy. And he's leading. He's a freak of nature even when you handicap him. So don't, you know, do the right thing. Do the right thing, Bass. Do the right thing. I wanted to say this. I read something over the weekend. One of the heroes of mine, Mr. Flip Pallett, saltwater guru, post that we lost a legend in the fishing world. Legend to me, a guy that I learned a lot from watching his videos. And Glenn Lau, who if you don't know, was a legendary underwater filmmaker, photographer, videographer. And he spent many years in a river in Florida documenting largemouth bass, bigmouth, and bigmouth forever. I had him on VHS when I was a kid. Showed these fish, like, inhaling a lure and spitting it out before the angler knew it, and all kind of cool stuff. And I learned so much from those tapes as a kid. And we lost Mr. Lau. So I want to say rest in peace to a legend that did some amazing things with a camera and taught the world so much about bass and bass behavior. Hated to see that big time. But thank you all for listening every single week. Like I said, there's a lot of fishing podcasts out there, man, more and more every day, it seems like. And I appreciate you guys, that the low-lifers, guys and gals that are loyal, tuning in every week after week, messaging me, commenting, man. I appreciate it. Supporting the sponsors, tagging me in post, tagging me in the music post when you find my music, new music coming on iTunes. Just slide that in there, like this week, trying to get it up. But I appreciate it. Like, it just, life's busy. Life's crazy. I've described that before. Got a lot of irons in the fire, but I'm always going to try to make time for this, man. I love it. And I appreciate each and every one of you low lifers for tuning in. Happy early 4th of July. Happy birthday to me. Come on. July 3rd, I'll be 30 freaking 8. Can't believe it, man. Still 2 years away from 40, though. Bye, George. Thank each and every one of you, man. I'll see y'all next week. Be sure to hug your mama. And we're going to do it live. Low budget live. Actually live. July the 6th, 7 p.m. We're going to do the damn thing. I'm going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Song written and recorded by me. Let's go. This highway does not know my name. Love you, miss you.
I never could make it last.
See?
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.